Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. This is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the holiest of Jewish holy days. And it's being observed as usual in Israel with a total shutdown of government activity, places of business, radio and television. But the observance in Israel this year is darkened by the massacre of Palestinians by Lebanese militiamen in refugee camps in the Beirut area a week before last. A tragedy for which the government of Prime Minister Menachem Begin has been accused in many quarters of at least indirect responsibility. And Bob Faure reports from Jerusalem that the Prime Minister's position is under heavy and mounting attack.
For once, Mr. Begin seems badly out of touch with the national mood. All across the country, there is revulsion at what happened in Beirut and disgust that Begin has proposed only a limited inquiry. What thousands of Israelis want is a full-scale judicial probe to clear the air and clear Israel's name. There is anger here that is not being done, and outrage that Begin has not yet come to terms with an issue which is eroding his government's moral authority. That is his problem. Israel is literally a fire in a moral debate, and Begin seems strangely unmoved. He still wants to wait until the Supreme Court decides whether a full inquiry must be held, but now there are signs that for the first time, most of his ministers want that inquiry launched now, with three hinting they'll step aside if it isn't. Coupled with all this is the crescendo of criticism in the country, in Begin's own party, and even in the military, that Defense Chief Sharon has covered up and lied and must be dumped. Begin has stood against the tide before and has survived. What is different on this Day of Atonement is the growing belief that some things done by his government can't be forgiven. Bob Fall, CBS News, Jerusalem.
From Beirut now, Peter Sherman reports the current status of the three-power force assigned to the Lebanese capital.
All of the French and Italian troops initially designated to serve with the new multinational peacekeeping force have arrived in Beirut. But the arrival of the U.S. Marines and the deployment of the force are still being held up pending withdrawal of Israeli units. The French and Italians are being kept in temporary barracks for the most part. French minesweeping teams have gone to the Palestinian camps south of Beirut for a second day, and the Italian consul says some of his country's newly arrived sharpshooters are there too. The Israelis had promised that their soldiers would leave West Beirut by yesterday. But at last report, Israeli units still held positions at the port of Beirut and the international airport south of the city. Israeli officials now say their forces will withdraw from Beirut east and west by midweek. President Amin Jamal, who took office last week, has declared his intention to have the Lebanese army, with help from the peacekeeping force, assert government authority throughout the capital, including the eastern sectors now controlled by the militia of his own Christian Falange party. Peter Sherman, CBS News, Beirut.
Defense Secretary Caspar Weinberger, interviewed yesterday on ABC, said the Marines will not enter Beirut until all Israeli forces have been removed from all sectors of the city. Secretary of State George Shultz is in New York this week to address the United Nations General Assembly and confer with a number of foreign ministers. Richard C. Hottlett reports.
The General Assembly this morning opens its general debate in which well over 100 presidents, premiers, and ministers paint the state of the world. Secretary Shultz departs from one time-honored custom. He will not address the Assembly this morning, as the United States has done for many years in its capacity as host country for the UN. He will speak later in the week. But Shultz will start without delay the main job of any Secretary of State here, quiet diplomatic contacts that would take him weeks if he traveled to foreign capitals. This morning, he sees Secretary General Perez de Cuellar to compare notes on Lebanon, where the UN has observers and a peacekeeping force, as well as on other issues. Tomorrow, he meets Soviet Foreign Minister Andrei Gromyko, their first encounter. When Gromyko was last here in June, he dealt at length with then-Secretary Alexander Haig. The problems today are the same, U.S.-Soviet relations in general, and the arms race in particular. Richard C. Hottle at CBS News, United Nations.
The Reagan administration is bracing itself for more bad economic news this week, and we'll hear about it from John Perugia.
The government's index of leading economic indicators is due out at midweek, and Commerce Department officials say it will show a decline after 4 months of pointing upward. Over the weekend, President Reagan defended his economic program, saying he had begun a turnaround by bringing down the inflation rate and interest rates. But that is of little consolation to nearly one in 10 Americans who want to work but can't find jobs. Polls indicate unemployment and the economy are the major topics on voters' minds, with only a few weeks left before the midterm November election. And that means the president will have to work hard to convince Americans that his policies are working, even though they hurt. He takes that logic on the road this week to Virginia, where he will campaign for Republican candidates. But even more worrisome for the administration than this week's economic news are the unemployment figures due to be released next week. Economists say a 10% unemployment rate is not unlikely. That figure could be the Republicans' biggest enemy in November. John Ferrugia, CBS News, the White House.
The General Accounting Office, in a report being released today, warns about potential danger to the nation's electrical power systems. Those systems are very dependable, it says, but they are also, quote, highly vulnerable to damage from acts of war, sabotage, and terrorism. The GAO, which is the investigative arm of Congress, adds, again, quote, should the nation or a region suffer a major long-term disruption, the consequences would most likely have a national impact, and neither utilities nor state and local governments can reasonably be expected to effectively manage such situations. Results of weekend elections in the state of Hesse have put West Germany's political picture in a new light, and they've improved the outlook for the federal chancellor. Wellington Long has details in Bonn.
The conservative and liberal parties, hoping to unseat West German Chancellor Helmut Schmidt later this week, suffered serious setbacks in the country's first election since the two joined forces. The first test of the new political coalition came in the election of a legislature in the state of Hesse, which includes the industrial cities of Frankfurt, Kassel, and Darmstadt. Although the conservative Christian Democrats had been expected to win a clear majority, they in fact lost some ground, while the liberal vote, at best never large, fell by more than one-half to a negligible 3.1%. It was the worst result for the liberals in any West German election. Christian Democratic and liberal leaders insisted that they will nevertheless try to remove Chancellor Schmidt by parliamentary vote on Friday. If that attempt fails, a new national election could follow quickly, perhaps as soon as early November. Wellington Long for CBS News, Bonn.
An environmentalist, anti-nuclear, anti-NATO group known as the Greens won 8% of the popular vote in Hesse and gained 9 seats in the state parliament. The Greens now hold seats in half of West Germany's provincial legislatures, and they've emerged as a political force to be reckoned with nationally. 3 bombs exploded in Frankfurt today, killing one man, seriously injuring a woman, and damaging the offices of the Jordanian and Iranian government airlines. A bomb went off at a military checkpoint in Northern Ireland, taking the life of one British soldier and badly wounding 2 others. So far, no group has claimed responsibility. Representatives of the NFL owners and the striking players yesterday held their first contract talks since September 17th. Eric Engberg in New York reports that they are still at odds.
NFL owners have said for weeks that they were ready to put $1.6 billion of the league's revenues into salary increases over the next 5 years. Jack Donlin, the owner's negotiator, answered one player demand by saying he is now ready to put that into writing.
We told the union that we would guarantee the $1.6 billion over the 5-year period. We also provided information to him which would indicate that if we didn't spend that money during a period of time, we'd create a fund to disperse it so that we did in fact get to the 1.6.
While Donlin characterized the offer as a breakthrough that held out hope of a settlement, union president Gene Upshaw said the owners had not come far enough.
You would think with the industry shut down tight that they would be a little more serious. Well, they weren't. They were just as arrogant. They were just as the way that they've been since February.
The players fear that unless they get a league-wide wage scale, which the owners oppose, the bulk of the new money would go to college draft choices the owners are trying to keep away from a rival football league now being organized. Eric Engberg, CBS News, New York.
Another negotiating session may be held this week in Washington. Gold prices remain on the downside overseas today. The price was fixed in London this morning at $414.25 an ounce, more than $13 lower than Friday's close. The dollar is strong against all the major foreign currencies. It closed at better than 268 yen in Tokyo today, the highest since it reached 270 yen more than 5 years ago.
CBS News, this is Reed Collins. The Marines have not landed and the situation is not yet in hand in Lebanon. Those contingents of U.S. Marines sent to provide security in Beirut remain offshore this morning, awaiting the final departure of the Israeli soldiers who at last report still had not withdrawn. French and Italian members of the multinational force remain at the dockside awaiting the word to move out. The White House says this morning the Israeli withdrawal is, quote, being finalized, and the Marines, it's added, probably will go ashore tomorrow or perhaps Wednesday. Meanwhile, hundreds of weeping women marched through the Shatila refugee camp to pray at a mass grave for victims of the massacre, which still is under investigation. The Israeli cabinet will meet tomorrow in emergency session. Now, this.
Want some excellent advice from IBM? Invest in bronze. Why bronze? Because IBM offers lower prices on almost every standard IBM Selectric and electronic typewriter in this color. So, if you're thinking about buying a new typewriter, now you can save on most IBM typewriters just by letting IBM color your choice. The handsome bronze color is available on IBM Correcting Selectric 3 typewriters, the typewriters that lift mistakes clean off the page, as well as IBM electronic typewriters. For more information, call IBM direct, toll-free, at 1-800-631-5582. That's 1-800-631-5582. And if you're looking for a solid investment in quality and productivity, take a tip from IBM. Buy bronze. It's as good as gold.
A booby-trap bomb has killed one British soldier and wounded two others in Belfast, North Ireland. The bomb was attached to a security gate dividing the Protestant and Catholic sections, and it exploded when the troops opened the gate this morning. In this hemisphere, a dozen Honduran leftists are awaiting a word at a military base in Panama about a plane from Cuba which is to take them there to asylum. The dozen had released more than 100 hostages they'd held for more than a week in Honduras, making demands which the government would not and did not meet. The impasse was broken when the leftists settled for asylum in Cuba and were flown to Panama to wait. Four Americans with relatives missing in Southeast Asia have returned to Bangkok, Thailand, after a tour of communist-held territory. Dave Hatcher reports.
The four Americans said the U.S. government now considers it a very strong likelihood that live Americans are still captive in Laos or Vietnam. George Brooks, a League of Families director, told reporters here in Bangkok the Reagan administration has said it would take whatever actions necessary to end the uncertainty over the POW-MIA issue.
The Reagan administration has responded favorably to recent events in Laos and Vietnam, in keeping with President Reagan and Defense Secretary Weinberger's assurances that resolution of the POW-MIA issue is in fact a matter of highest national priority. We urge our government to now take necessary actions to end the uncertainty for the families and look to the future.
The four plan to meet State Department and Pentagon officials upon their return to the United States later this week. Dave Hatcher, CBS News, Bangkok.
Texas lawmen still are looking for a fourth suspect in a buried-alive ransom attempt. 21-year-old Michael Baucom was buried for 5 days in a coffin-like box while his kidnappers tried to extort $75,000 from his father. Authorities rescued him yesterday and arrested three suspects. Says Baucom of his 5 days, time goes by very slowly when you were buried in a box. And now this.
The Farm Belt is bulging with too much grain. Read in today's Wall Street Journal about the Midwest's latest problem, a lack of storage space. And with all that grain piling up, prices keep coming down. Get the details. And while reading today's journal, learn how urban churches are selling property and upsetting communities. Why First Boston's profiting from the Bendix deal. And how bad luck has changed the habits of a leading money manager. Plus, in today's journal, a look at the array of news retrieval systems. They're changing the way many people do business. Get today's business news while it's still news. Pick up a copy of the Wall Street Journal at your newsstand this morning. Or to subscribe in the continental U.S., call 800-345-8500. That's 800-345-8500.
8500 for the Wall Street Journal. Princess Stephanie of Monaco is home in the palace to recover from the broken neck she suffered in the accident that killed her mother 2 weeks ago. Miners return to work tomorrow at North America's biggest gold mine, the Homestake in South Dakota. They've been on strike for 118 days. Under their new contract, the miners will get bonuses tied to the price of gold. In the past few days, however, the glitter hasn't been there. Gold prices dropped by nearly $20, and the afternoon price in London was fixed at $413.75 an ounce. On Wall Street right now, the Dow Industrial Average is off, the index down 1.84 at 917.68, and the first hour volume, 10.5 million. Reed Collins, CBS News.
CBS News, I'm Richard C. Hottolett. U.S. Marines are still waiting offshore at Lebanon. Their orders are not to land in Beirut until Israeli forces have withdrawn from the city. U.S. officials explained over the weekend that Israeli troops must leave not only West Beirut, but also East Beirut and the international airport situated just south of the city. Small numbers of Israelis remain in the port area and at the airport. White House spokesman Larry Speaks told reporters today that an agreement on Israel's withdrawal from Beirut, quote, is being finalized. Speaks said the Marines will probably go ashore Tuesday or Wednesday. The French contingent is now ashore in full strength, so are 300 Italians. They are not deploying to the positions they will hold, but are waiting for the U.S. Marines to arrive. Israel is quiet today, all government activity suspended, businesses and stores closed for the most solemn holy day of the Jewish religion, the Day of Atonement. After it ends tonight, political activity will resume with a vengeance. The cabinet meets tomorrow in special session, and parliament convenes on Thursday to consider the opposition's demand for an independent investigation of the Beirut massacre. More after this.
We're here asking some secretaries and typists to name the typewriter they prefer most. Their answers?
IBM.
IBM.
IBM. And their reasons.
I just love my IBM Correcting Selectric 3. It lifts my typing errors clean off the page in seconds. It makes me look perfect, even when I'm not.
IBM.
IBM.
I type statistics, so I've got an IBM Electronic 50. It automatically aligns numbers in columns, and it always remembers to put the decimal point in the right place.
IBM.
IBM.
I get my share of repetitive typing, so I have the IBM Electronic 75. It has a memory that can store and automatically retype whatever I type in. Now when I have something to retype, the typewriter types it, not yours truly.
Get the typewriter that's preferred most.
IBM.
Call 1-800-631-5582. 1-800-631-5582.
The West German Bundestag meets on Friday for a vote of confidence. Under the German Constitution, the government of Chancellor Helmut Schmidt cannot be brought down by a simple negative decision. The vote must simultaneously elect a new cabinet. The Christian Democratic Party intends to try for that vote. More from Doug Sefton in Bonn.
Politicians of every persuasion are picking through the ruins of yesterday's regional election in Hesse. Since all three major parties lost, victory has to be conceded to Chancellor Helmut Schmidt, whose Social Democrat Party lost least when it was expected to lose most. The middle-of-the-road Free Democrats, in the worst showing of their history, failed to win a single seat in the state assembly. The Free Democrats, in league with the conservative Christian Democrats, are supposed to challenge Schmidt's leadership with a vote of confidence Friday in Parliament. But the conservatives didn't perform as well as expected either. Meanwhile, the Greens Party, whose interest is only ecology, managed to gain the balance of power with 8% of the votes cast. But the Greens will have nothing to do with any of the established political organizations. In the confusion of today, few can blame them. Doug Sefton, CBS News, Bonn.
President Reagan, according to senior administration officials, will meet Mexico's president-elect Miguel de la Madrid Hurtado in Tijuana on October 8th. President Reagan is certain, it is said, to focus his discussions on Mexico's current economic difficulties, as well as other issues, such as migrant workers, that affect the two countries. De la Madrid will be inaugurated in Mexico City on December 1st. The official news agency of Angola says that nation's diplomats and some from China are meeting in Paris today to discuss establishing diplomatic relations. Ties between the two countries were set back in 1975 when China backed the Luanda government's opponents during Angola's civil war.
The Luanda government has since then maintained close ties with the Soviet bloc. Stocks and other news after this.
Last night we were late for a movie. Maybe I was driving too fast. Suddenly I saw this white glow about 400 feet up the street. The glow got brighter, so I put on the brakes, and that's when I saw the cat. Her collar was reflecting my headlights. That Hart's collar saved her life for sure.
Protect your dog or cat right now with the Hart's 2-in-1 Plus Nighttime Safety Reflecting Collar, the first flea and tick collar that reflects oncoming car headlights and kills fleas and ticks for 5 months. The Hart's 2-in-1 Plus Reflecting Collar. Now the Hart's Flea and Tick Killer can be a lifesaver too.
Get that pennant race fever. Get in on the action of baseball's final week of the regular season with CBS Radio Sports and Kirk Gowdy. Starting Monday the 27th, Kirk brings you 6 reports each night with live switches to ballparks around the country to update all the games in progress. It all starts this Monday night, continues through Friday. It's pennant race fever with Kirk Gowdy on most of these CBS Radio Network stations. Hear it here.
United Technologies today called off its effort to take over the Bendix Corporation. Other parties to that epic corporate battle called their truce before the weekend, agreeing that Allied Corporation would take over Bendix. Allied also becomes a major stockholder in Martin Marietta, which maintains its independence. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones average is down 5.24. Volume on the big board, very light, just over 18 million shares. The Dow Jones Industrials, 914.28. Richard C. Hottle at CBS News.